From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, President Lee Jae-myung calls on the government to prioritize key national projects and address structural vulnerabilities in the country's economy and industry exposed during the Middle East conflict. The United States launches a maritime blockade of Iran, restricting all maritime traffic in and out of Iranian ports. And a Washington-based research group says North Korea appears to have completed a building believed to be a new uranium enrichment facility in Yongbyon. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Eileen Cahill. President Lee Jae-myung has called on the government to prioritize key national projects, such as exploring alternative supply chains, pursuing mid- to long-term industrial restructuring, and transitioning to a plastic-free economy. The president made the call on Tuesday at a cabinet meeting, stressing the need to accelerate efforts to address structural vulnerabilities in the country's economy and industry exposed during the Middle East conflict. He noted that the recent talks between the United States and Iran had failed to reach an agreement and that escalating tensions surrounding the Strait of Hormuz made it difficult to be optimistic about the situation. He said the government should treat prolonged disruptions in global energy and raw material supply chains and high oil prices as a given and strengthen emergency response systems accordingly. He also called for the swift implementation of a 26.2 trillion won supplementary budget aimed at supporting those affected by the war. The United States launched a maritime blockade of Iran on Monday, restricting all maritime traffic in and out of Iranian ports. Speaking to reporters at the White House on Monday, U.S. President Donald Trump said the U.S. Navy's blockade had begun at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, as previously scheduled. On Truth Social, Trump said 158 Iranian Navy ships had been completely obliterated, and warned that any of Iran's fast attack ships that have not yet been hit would be immediately eliminated should they come close to the U.S. blockade. The shutdown comes after the U.S. and Iran failed to strike a deal to end their war during the 21-hour negotiation over the weekend in Pakistan. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has threatened military retaliation, and the country's parliamentary speaker, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, said in a statement Sunday that if the U.S. fights, Iran will do the same. The government has reportedly shared information on its vessels stuck in the Strait of Hormuz during consultations with Iran. Jong Byung-ha, the special envoy to Iran, is said to have provided details on the South Korean ships while discussing the safety of vessels and crew stranded in the area with senior Iranian officials, according to sources close to the matter. Iran had previously said such information was necessary for talks on maritime passage. According to the Ministry of Oceans and Fisheries, 26 South Korean vessels and 173 crew members remain stranded in the strait. The government had been cautious about engaging in bilateral talks, focusing only on South Korean ships, emphasizing the principle of free navigation for all vessels. North Korea appears to have completed a building believed to be a new uranium enrichment facility in Yongbyon, North Pyongan Province, according to a Washington-based research group. Beyond Parallel, a website specializing in North Korea under the Center for Strategic and International Studies, reported on Monday that a suspected uranium enrichment building at the Yongbyon Nuclear Research Center has been completed. The analysis was based on satellite imagery from this month that shows a building widely believed to be a new uranium enrichment plant built to produce weapons-grade material for nuclear weapons, in line with information reported by the International Atomic Energy Agency. The report said construction began in mid-December 2024, and the new facility was largely externally complete by early June 2025. The most recent image, captured April 2nd, shows the facility essentially complete, including a probable standby generator, a building meant for administration and engineering support, vehicle sheds, and other buildings. Police raided a plating company in Hwasong, Gyeonggi Province in connection with the injury of a worker. The Gyeonggi Namdo Provincial Police sent 20 investigators to the company on Tuesday to obtain evidence in the case. Police said they had seized a mobile phone belonging to the company's owner, an individual in their 60s, and a computer inside the plating factory. The police said that two compressed air guns, which they believe were used to harm the worker, had been voluntarily submitted the previous day. Investigators plan to question as a suspect the company owner, who stands accused of discharging the compressed air close to the body of a Thai worker in their 40s in February. Nukku the wolf continues to evade capture 6 days after escaping from a zoo in the central city of Daejeon, despite a sighting and search operation Monday night. According to fire officials, a nearby resident reported seeing a wolf around 10:40 p.m. Monday on a hill in the Musu area of the city's Chung district. Search teams identified the animal as Nukku, the young male wolf who escaped last Wednesday morning. The hill is around 1.8 kilometers away from the zoo, which is inside the Daejeon O World theme park. Approximately 60 rescue personnel from fire and police agencies were dispatched to the location, where they tried to close in on Nukku, but the operation failed. U.S. President Donald Trump has tapped former Representative Michelle Park Steele as the first U.S. ambassador to South Korea in his second term. The White House on Monday posted a list of nominations the administration has sent to the Senate for approval, including that of the Korean-American former California Congresswoman to be U.S. Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary to South Korea. If and when Steele is approved and formally appointed to the top envoy post in Seoul, she will fill the vacancy left by former Ambassador Philip Goldberg in January 2025. She would also become the second Korean-American to take the position, after former Ambassador Song Kim. The labor force participation rate for young South Korean men has dropped significantly over the past 25 years, amid increased competition from their female counterparts and the expansion of artificial intelligence, a new central bank report indicated Tuesday. The labor force participation rate for men aged 25 to 34 fell from 89.9% in 2000 to 82.3% in 2025, marking a 7.6 percentage point decrease, according to a Bank of Korea assessment of labor force trends. The BOK noted that the rate fell more sharply than that of any other member of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, adding that for millennials born between 1981 and 1995, the decline in economic activities continued through their late 30s. The report cited intensifying competition due to increased economic participation by highly educated women as one of the leading factors. The probability of labor force participation for men born between 1991 and 1995 with a four-year university degree or higher plummeted 15.7 percentage points compared to the baseline generation, while that for women rose 10.1 percentage points. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index spiked 159.13 points, or 2.74% on Tuesday, to close at 5,967.75. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ gained 22.04 points, or 2%, to close at 1,121.88. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Eileen Cahill.